Well, if we're really going to understand fully this gospel passage, we need to set it in context by going back a bit to the start of chapter 21. Jesus has arrived in Jerusalem with everyone waving palm branches and cheering. Terrific. But the chief priests and the teachers of the law complain about the children calling him the son of David, because of its clear implication that no less a person than the Messiah himself has arrived. And then, to the alarm of the religious establishment, as you might well imagine, he has gone into the temple, vigorously ejected the money changers. Well, true, yes, they have been striking unfair deals and charging exorbitant interest, but the fact remains that the temple bosses hadn't challenged the practice. And here he comes throwing them all out. So it's hardly surprising that the religious hierarchy ask him, "By what authority are you doing these things?" And this whole sequence is an exploration of the authority Jesus has. Because you'll remember, right from the start of his ministry, Luke 4, verse 32, the crowds had been impressed because Jesus spoke with authority, and not as their teachers and of the law. And now the governing powers are trying to challenge the rights that Jesus seems to be assuming to change the whole religious understanding of the people of God. And instead, Jesus turns the tables on them and asks them a question. What authority did John the Baptist have, according to you? What's the nature of authority? Do you recognize God-given authority or only man's? And they're stuck for an answer. And so then Jesus goes on to tell two very pointed stories. One about people who make the right noises but don't deliver, and the other about people refusing to deliver what they should and killing to keep it. And chapter 21, verse 45, the chief priests and the Pharisees knew he was talking about them and looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd. They really don't like it. But does Jesus let up? No, not a bit of it. He tells another story about how the original guests can't come to the marriage feast, but only the waifs and strays, with the perhaps rather predictable result that, 22 verse 15, the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They're going to do everything they can because he's challenging their authority. They even go so far as to make an alliance with their old enemies, the Herodians, who are more political than religious, to try to trap him into telling people they didn't have to pay taxes so they could get him arrested. But that didn't work. Jesus very neatly just slipped out from under it, saying, give to God what is God's, give to man what is man's. So then along come the toffs, the Sadducees, from whom the high priests are drawn, the equivalent perhaps of the House of Bishops at General Synod. And they ask Jesus a question about the resurrection, to which he rather devastatingly replies, well, you're in error because you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. I'm saying that to the House of Bishops and see what sort of reaction you get. Not perhaps the last word intact to the religious establishment. Indeed, if you want lessons in how to win friends and influence people, you wouldn't do very well to follow the example of Jesus. He's a confrontationalist. So now, in today's reading, we get the Pharisees. Secretly, they're rather pleased that the Sadducees have got a bloody nose because they really don't like them. And so the Pharisees decide they will try their hand at manoeuvring Jesus into a compromising position with a rather neat legal question about the key commandment in the law. And Jesus points out that what God most wants is the one quality conspicuously missing in the way all these bigwigs are behaving towards him: love. If one really loves God above all else, and one's neighbour as oneself, there will be a self-authenticating authority in what one does and says. It will be visible in you and through you. After all, as 1 John reminds us, God is love. So in the final analysis, we're demonstrating him in all our attitudes, words, and actions. Well, are we? The Pharisees are so caught up with the truth of God that they've turned what should be a relationship into a set of religious regulations. They find their authority in rules and precedent rather than in loving interaction. And so Jesus, seeing them all there together, turns the tables on them by asking them another question about authority. They venerate legal precedent and the fathers of Judaism. Very well. Right, says Jesus. The Messiah, the Saviour, the Christ, is going to be descended from the great King David, right?
Oh, yes.
So you would expect the Messiah, when he comes, to obey and be subservient to the rules laid down and accepted by David, like you, right?
Certainly.
So how do you explain the fact that the Messiah has such inner authority in his own right that the great King David speaks in Psalm 110, verse 1, of his own descendant being his Lord? And he just goes on, well, the fact is that when the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ, comes, he will bring a new mandate from heaven, and a lot of things will be changed because he will carry the authority of God rather than that of previous generations. And if that's the case, how are you going to recognize him? Not by his compliance with rules, but by his freedom from them. Well, no wonder that verse 46 of our reading, no one could say a word in reply, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. They've been effectively silenced. Now, do you see how Jesus is both wholly loving, but also absolutely uncompromising in challenging people? He will not let them off the hook. He is absolute truth as well as absolute love. Now, every one of us, you and I, will tend to be a bit more one than the other. Only Jesus is perfectly both at once. Think about yourself for a moment. Which are you more inclined to be? Do you back off and duck out from challenging when people ought to be put on the spot about their relationship with God, with other people, with the truth? Or are you rather better at confronting people than you are at loving them and encouraging them through whatever their difficulty may be? The Pharisees were really strong on truth, but Jesus shows that they are imprisoned in their own version of the truth, in the limitations of their own understanding. But the Word of God can and does and should always provoke every one of us to fresh insight. When was the last time you changed your mind about what you had always thought was a point of principle? Because we can so easily pride ourselves on our inflexibility. But there's a real danger in assuming that the interpretation we made 20 years ago of circumstances, of people, of the Bible, was necessarily the last word on the subject. Paul wrote, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up." Now, those of us of a certain age will remember, "Listen with mother, are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin." And apparently I used to sit there saying, "Yes, thank you." Now, I'm very well brought up. Yes, I was sitting comfortably, then they could begin. Well, let me this morning suggest a few questions for self-examination, because sometimes it is good for us to be sitting uncomfortably for a little while. In what ways do you and I live according to rules rather than relationship? Are we inclined to think we know best and to write people off because their theology or their practice doesn't square with ours? Are we naturally inclined to be critical and judgmental of other people? Do we shut ourselves off from a new experience of God because of our closed minds and attitudes? Do we limit God by our own narrowness of vision and understanding, always insisting that he has to do things the way he always has done? Do we allow Jesus and his Spirit the authority to change things, or are our minds made up and switched off? Do we make room for the supernatural in our lives? When the children in the Narnia Chronicles hear about Aslan, they ask whether he's a tame lion, and Mr. Beaver indignantly says, "Well, of course he isn't!" And nor is Jesus. Is that supreme authority of Christ at work in your life? And what should that mean about your attitude to life and your whole demeanour, if you're a Christian? Because, having made you feel uncomfortable for a bit, I'm going to make you feel really big now. You are not just a son or daughter of David. You are a child of the King of Kings. You have authority. So do we live in the consciousness of that easy, unforced natural authority we have? Do we exercise it in our approach to life and in our prayers? Or do we tend to assert our authority by controlling situations with bluster or bullying or throwing our weight about to get our own way and impress? Do we, as the Pharisees failed to do, recognize the intrinsic authority of the love of God when it's right before our very eyes? And do we therefore carry authority in the world because people experience the love of Jesus working through us? Is our authority self-authenticating because the Lord of love is manifestly living inside us? Are all your attitudes characterized by love?